Yeah, I'm Cesar Pieri, or Cesar Pieri, or Cesar Salad, or whatever you decide to call me. And I'm a car designer. I'm a car designer. I'm an entrepreneur. I try to be a business owner. I try to work with art. I try to be an artist. I try to be multiple different things, I think.
I think you do most of them pretty well, to be fair. We are, so Cesar is the man behind Gasoline Juice. If you've not come across that, we run a Coffees and Cars here, so how, I don't know how someone could have come across me and not come across that, because we work together. But we're in the premises now. So I've hit record.
That's actually a good way to start the conversation, right?
It would. Can we go back to like 10 seconds ago?
Yeah. This is exactly the point. You've been here about 1 year ago, and it was only me and you.
Yeah.
I think this sofa.
Yeah, I think.
And I think that one as well, and then penguins and kind of all sorts of kind of icy animals.
Yeah, it was what, like, I think
0 degrees
in December.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was really, really cold.
Probably 1 or 2 degrees at Push, and you'd just come out. You not long from America at that point, were you?
Yeah, same thing this year. I just came back from the US. Yeah.
So quite a change in climate for you.
Very much. It's pretty warm there. Still warm. It's South Carolina, so south of the East Coast, near Florida, near Georgia, Savannah, Georgia. So it's
a little bit warmer this time of year than it is over here.
Yeah.
So that must have been quite a shock for the system anyway. And then you're in this big warehouse where it's extra cold.
It's still cold, yeah. Big challenge to hit it. But I kind of, I'm used to kind of travel, be here, be there, and kind of trying to understand the, not trying to understand, trying to kind of be okay with all the changes and kind of all.
Well, you have moved around a bit in your time though, haven't you? It's not, anybody listening can guess that your accent isn't straight up English.
No, absolutely not, no, not really. Yeah, I've been all around. I've been in Brazil. I've been working and studying in Brazil. I've been working and studying in the US, Italy, Austria, Germany, here in England, China. So kind of, and then working in kind of multiple different places for short periods of time. But
yeah,
I mean, never had a house in China, but I've been there. So kind of multiple times working. But I've been kind of, it's rare when I kind of stay in a place for more than a year and a half. So
in 6 months' time, we'll be having this conversation again, and it will be you going, look, I need to go somewhere else.
No,
why don't
I hope
you
not.
Take on the space?
I hope not. I hope not.
Your poor wife is like, oh, can we please just stay still for a couple of years? Like, can we just get a mortgage somewhere and stay somewhere?
Actually, so the house in the US and was a kind of a shock, because I thought, now I'm going to stay in a place. Decided to buy a house.
Yeah.
And then after a few years, kind of 3 years, we ended up selling the house and moving back to England. Germany, then England.
Then England. Yeah, that's why the Jag has German plates, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you brought your German Jaguar back to its homeland.
Actually, it's an American car.
It's an American Jaguar on German number plates.
In England, and of course has been built in England, so
it's done a lap of the planet almost.
Yeah.
Depending on which way from Germany to America to Germany you went.
I think that's the problem about being a car designer, isn't it? So when you are a car designer, you work for different companies, you work for different realities, and it's not that kind of, we have too many choices to kind of where to work.
Yeah.
We have a few design studios around the planet, and we have few kind of main core places like England, Germany, Italy, US, more kind of West Coast, and China at this point.
Yeah.
Of course, you have France, you have all the other places, but we have some main core areas and then spread around design studios. But we have no choice. When you get a proposal to go, let's say, to go to Ferrari or go join Jaguar, you have only two options, or you come to England or you go to Italy.
Yeah.
There's not that, oh, I'm working for these guys, but I'm staying in Cancun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if not,
I'm going to stay on the beach and just scribble in the afternoon. I'll send it over on email. Let me know if it's any good. I'm going to go and get the Mai Tai.
There's a lot of remote in car design now, actually, after pandemic.
Yeah.
Which is great. There's a kind of a lot of people working remotely. The companies understood that it's possible, because before there's still a big concern about kind of all the secrets and all the development that can kind of leak.
Yeah,
images, yeah. And so on and on. But the field is so small. There's so kind of very few car designers around the planet that, and people working in the industry, that I think that we understand the dynamics and how we should behave.
Yeah.
Because if you let something go,
that's your whole career gone.
That's gone. Yeah. That's you gone forever. So.
Yeah. You're drawing wing mirror covers for like Chinese knockoffs for the rest of your life.
That's it. Yeah. You're gone. Yeah.
It's probably worth us asking the question of who are you and what do you do. I mean, the what do you do is probably quite obvious now.
So, yeah.
So that I've got my intro soundbite. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, I'm Cesar Pieri, or Cesar Pieri, or Cesar Salad, or whatever you decide to call me. And I'm a car designer. I'm an entrepreneur. I try to be a business owner. I try to work with art. I try to be an artist. I try to be multiple different things, I think.
I think you do most of them pretty well, to be fair. We are, so Cesar is the man behind Gasoline Juice. If you've not come across that, we run a coffees and cars here, so how, I don't know how someone could have come across me and not come across that, because we work together. But we're in the premises now. It's a big, it's a Napoleonic, there we go.
Yeah, pre-Napoleonic.
War base, really, yeah. Isn't it? And it's an ordnance
depot.
Has been
always kind of depot for the British Army.
Yeah, from the Napoleonic times, or pre-Napoleonic, as you said. And now it's like an industrial estate, effectively. But everything is still kind of as it looked back in the day. It's only when you come inside that you see what differences are going on. But you have Gasoline Juice here. So art, car events, evenings with interesting people talking. Like, yeah. So many different things going on.
So yeah, when I came to this place, actually, because again, being a car designer, I've been working for multiple different companies. I've been with Fiat, Maserati, Alfa. I've been in Italy, of course. I've been in the US. I've been working in Brazil as product and car design and graphic designer. Started in 1996 in Brazil.
Right.
Worked at Jaguar, BMW, NIO. I've been chair for the Savannah College of Art and Design in the US. But in 2018, I quit JLR.
Right.
And I thought, all right, it's time to start working in a different way, start consulting for multiple companies and so on and on. So moved to the US, started working as a chair for this college.
Yeah.
It's the biggest art and design college in the US, actually. Won multiple times the Red Dot Awards. And it was a great place, fantastic place, actually. And start consulting. So I came here after moving back to Germany and after moving back to England to find a little office or something to have the design consultancy.
How did you end up in Northampton?
So that's the thing.
Is that where we're going? Okay.
So yeah, that's where I live in southern, kind of more kind of towards Leamington area. And I was looking for a place to kind of having a small design studio. But as you know, I do my paintings. I'm an artist. I'm kind of really keen about car designers creating automotive art.
Yeah.
And I have loads of things, as you know.
Yeah.
As you can see. And from airplane parts to cars to car parts to all sorts of different things. So I saw this place online and thought, all right, they may have a room, kind of an office or something that I can rent. And when I came here, I saw a place upstairs on the third floor. And I saw this one. The guys here were living. And I thought, wow, this is bloody amazing, isn't it?
It's a huge space.
About 5,000 square feet. Beautiful building with beautiful windows, beautiful place. I said, wow, if I get my design studio here and get my artworks, my painted bonnets and airplane parts, and get more artists, I can join together this dream about having a design studio and an automotive art gallery.
Yeah.
Great. This was November or October last year.
Yeah.
And then we met, as we started the conversation today, sometime in December here.
It would have been early December. So the people that were here before were the Karnataka guys, who are mates of mine.
Yeah.
So I heard about them moving. And
someone coming.
Someone else coming. And someone said, I think I have a connection with a friend of a friend or something like that. I said, well, I'm around the corner, so I'll just pop in. And hey, what you doing? This is cool. And that's how it started. It was literally just kind of knocking on
then,
the door.
And then all this story changed direction a little bit, because my opening was on Sunday, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
My first day opening was on a Sunday.
Because we did the charity meet.
And then we did the charity meet on Saturday, which was a pre-opening party.
Yeah.
In a car meeting style.
Yeah, it was an excuse to get the coffee van in.
Exactly,
and get the people who won our charity raffle prizes together, get some photos, and kind of go, let's see what this place looks like with people in it, with cars outside, give you an idea of what's possible.
And then the following day, Sunday, was busy as well, but was, again, very much in a car meeting format.
Yeah.
And then the following Saturday, we did an Americana with Matt.
Yeah.
And then we did another car meeting on Sunday. Then on the following, let's get something else going on. And then since that day, we never stopped doing car meetings.
When we had the charity meet, it was Scott from Carburetor Coffee brought his coffee van down because he had given some beans to the prize. And we said, look, why don't we get everyone together, get the coffee truck.
So which was great, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have a coffee machine, you didn't have a bar, you didn't have
it was
pizza,
never
you
my
didn't
idea
have any of the
actually.
Things that you've got now.
It was never my idea, but again, as I from the very when I got the keys for this place, I told my wife, I said, I will lock myself inside and I will start building everything myself. I had no contractors helping me.
Yeah.
I have no one here. I just locked myself and I said, I will build everything myself because this needs to be, with my humble budget, whatever I believe it's my own true.
It's like an extension
imprint.
Of you.
Yeah, as an extension of my stuff, my things, my artworks. And then I don't want this to be only about me. So more artists, more designers, more people. So it needs to kind of grow naturally. So I've been here the whole December and January and February actually building and kind of doing the dividers and walls and hanging and stuff. And then when we opened, was like, wow, I didn't see all that kind of happening because I've been so deep into it.
Yeah.
And then people saw it. It was like, all right, oh, this looks cool. Actually, it's pretty nice. And then they start coming and the meetings and so on and on. So I never thought about having a coffee shop or kind of having a pizzeria or having, as we have now, kind of a pub license and becoming what it's becoming.
Yeah.
But I let it grow naturally, actually. So I said, let it evolve the first year as it naturally, of course, between some kind of business plan and then between some rules that I expected. And then by the end of the first year, which is, technically,
it's around about now. Yeah.
Is about now, and then
this
I can.
This is the point where you go, it's not gone the way I wanted. I'm stopping. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake.
No. I'm actually continuing.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
Yeah,
it's
I'll
my
be
local
here for at least another few years. I hope. And again, we end up kind of having Carburetor Coffee and Scott helping us in the first month, but. Then, of course, it becomes difficult because he has his own appointments. And then we end up having a very simple coffee machine. Things start to grow. Now we have a kind of a proper coffee machine. And then they start having food trailers. And then they couldn't come as well. They didn't show up because they had bigger gigs or stuff. So, okay, let's have our own kitchen. And then, all right, so we can have our own beer. We did a partnership with the brewery. And here we go. We have actually two PAs, Umbria, Pale Ale, and now Pilsner coming as well.
Nice.
So three different flavors. Yeah. And more products coming for next year, from kind of leather goods to more kind of racing products as well. So it's expanding in a different way because we have our own merchandise, but it's slowly expanding. Now, I think during December, January, my job is really to take a little bit of a break.
We'll be closed
for a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more in January. Have a kind of fly high, kind of flying over the top of it, having a bigger kind of look from outside and said, all right, what can I trim? What can I expand? What is really okay for the business case? We end up selling classic bars, bikes and cars.
Yeah.
Does that work? We've been kind of discovering a pretty interesting direction that was hiring the space for private events.
Yeah.
And we've been doing private events with Formula One drivers, with F1 teams, with private companies and kind of corporate events and all sorts of different things. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And now it's time to kind of, all right, what is this monster now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What is this octopus? So can I kind of trim it and kind of shrink it somehow to have a kind of a proper next year of a business plan development to then kind of understand where I can take it?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense though. You've planted this tree and let it grow, and now the branches are everywhere.
You can trim it now.
And now you're like, we need to prune some of this and we need to encourage some other bits. And But it's great, man. Like, I think it's really inspiring for people when they hear that it was like, I wasn't really sure what to do. Like, I got this space, I wanted to go, right, let's get in, let's put some of my character in there and see what happens. And for it to have kind of grown and flourished in the way that it has is quite interesting. Like,
it's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah,
in the end, it's somehow very controlled.
It's not like you're a multimillionaire that went, I'm going to make a business that's going to make me even more money and it's going to have this. It's not engineered to have its character. It just has grown its character from you.
I mean, I had a business. I still have a business plan and I have a kind of steps that I follow and kind of steps in mind, kind of investment plan and how I can tweak stuff here and there. But being a person, being a car designer, I think we are tailored to, when we see a problem or when we see something that is difficult and there's discussions with engineering about feasibility, we see loads of opportunities. So it's our nature as car designers to get a problem and transform it into a kind of cool thing,
I would say.
So I have this problem in this lower portion of the bumper. Oh, I can't solve it. I said, actually, we can. So if we do this, it can make that a feature and people will love that air intake because it's cool and it's nice and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think this year has been exactly that, kind of approaching it with a designer mindset and, of course, from the business side as well, with a kind of very open mind and trying to identify the opportunities that would bring me or bring us kind of growth. And feed it in a nice way, not only financially, but kind of finding the right way of communicating that core value to become one of the main assets in the end. So
yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And I didn't mean it in a, he's clueless and he's seeing what's happening.
It's nice
that you've been able to kind of give it soul and let it soul.
I will not deny that some of the things kind of was like, really, should we do that? Oh yeah, let it go and let's see what happens. And I was oh shit.
Oh, that's quite nicely, thank goodness.
That's quite nice.
The flip side of that is you can have that scenario and you go, let's see what happens, and it just falls on its arse.
And for me, it's a bit of a crazy thing, isn't it? Because I continue to do my design consultancy work.
Yeah.
I've been working over the past 2 years with BMW, with NIO, with kind of somehow with Gordon Murray Design, with Pininfarina and other companies here in England, and boats in Florida and stuff in China. Now I'm concentrated more in one big project, but so my weekdays are still normal design consultancy men with Pieri Design and kind of whatever that is.
It's no longer in a caravan in here though. That's where it was.
The caravans are still in the back.
The caravans in the back.
Is it still there?
But it's is that your office still?
It's still my office.
Is that what you're still using? Yeah, so when you say I'm stuck at work, you're stuck
sometimes
in the caravan
here, sometimes
the back.
In Guildford, sometimes in another studio here near Coventry, sometimes at home, sometimes in the US.
Because when I first came in, that was it. It was that little caravan in the corner, these sofas, and like you going, it's bloody freezing. But it was like, this is my design studio. It's just a caravan in a corner.
Now
of
we have the plane. The plane is our meeting
room. Meeting room, yeah.
Been using it quite a lot. Now, again, this project that we are doing is more like, it's a different type of thing. So I end up not having more designers here.
Yeah.
Because we are working in a completely different way. I'm working a completely different way now. But for me, it's a very busy kind of workflow because I work normally during weekdays, then Friday night I'm here, and Saturday I'm here, Sunday I'm here, and then Monday continues again. So this first 12 months of preparing,
you invest a lot of yourself into this project.
Oh well, yeah, 100%, yeah. Kind of 1,000,000%, I think, which is great, but in a moment I will need to find a kind of fine tune it and tweak in a way that I take a little bit more personal time and
well, you've got
let
kids
them both
and a family and a wife
grow in a different way. Mm-hmm.
Like I know that your wife comes and she supports and she helps and she runs the coffee shop sometimes and things like that.
Yeah.
But I imagine there's probably a point where you guys have to kind of go, we could do some as time as a family to not.
And
be.
She works for Coventry University. She's a manager for one of the research programs that they have there. She's a pharmaceutical researcher. So she's mega busy, much smarter than me, which is not easy. I'm joking, which is pretty easy.
I have the same thing with my other half, because my other half's a doctor,
I keep saying to her, you're so much smarter than me, but that's not difficult, so don't be too...
Yeah, it's not a high bar.
There's not a high bar, so don't worry about it.
I have the exact same conversation with my other half all the time, and the best part is, because she's so much smarter than I am, when she does something clumsy or she misses something simple, the sting is so much like, oh, you missed that one, didn't you? Miss Smarty, you're the doctor, you shouldn't have missed that. Like it tastes so much better when the really smart person misses something or gets something wrong. So I'm like, oh, you're so smart, but you missed out on that little thing.
But you know that because we are working so much, sometimes we're starting to kind of do some mistakes on small little things because we're tired at this point. And like today, I was supposed to be here and she drove the car with this place, the keys for gasoline juice.
Right.
And I said, where are the keys? Oh, I took it with myself. I said, oh shit. So I can't go there now. And I was expecting some of the guys to come here and do some work and blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, here we go. That's why I got late as well.
And
I had to wait her.
To get the keys
for her to come back. As well, I was working.
These are the things that are easily, they happen quite easily though.
Yeah.
Especially when you're so busy. It is easy for these little things just to slip through.
Yeah, but this is the thing now, kind of next year, the goal is to understand really what Spieri design, what really gasoline juice is about, how to let them both grow on its own way. Even if they kind of are intrinsically connected somehow, they need to be independent.
Yeah.
Right? The artwork business is connected to gasoline juice. Selling classic cars and bikes is gasoline juice. The coffee shop, the bar, the pub, or whatever this place is, I even can name it what it is. And the merchandise, it's all one thing, even if he has 5, 6, 7 different fronts.
Yeah.
It must be completely disconnected from the design studio.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
And your accountant will be happier with you for doing that as well, because then the lines won't be quite as blurred when they've got to sit and count.
Yeah, no, we managed to create both things separate already. So it's more work, but it does.
It works.
It works nicely.
So where did most of your inspiration for this stuff come from? Obviously, we've got a lot of different things that are all in here. Like we've got this lovely BMW motorbike, and then behind that is the tail fin off, which plane is that one?
Hercules.
A Hercules.
C-130, American Air Force. And there's the Tornado,
yeah, the
canopy,
Tornado canopy
from the Royal Air Force.
We sat underneath a tail rudder or whatever
from
that
the Cessna aircraft, yeah.
And then we've got a Sinclair C5 and your lovely old Fiat and the X19. Like, the common theme is kind of not industrial, but it's mechanical. Like planes, bikes, cars. Like,
I think that moves and gives us some level of adrenaline and makes some noise, and it's great to go to get a bicycle and race it. It's great to go a go-kart track and race it. It's great to get a bike on and kind of drive it, feel the wind and feel the noise, and the mechanical thing working, getting warm and kind of all blah, 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 blah. And not to talk about cars, right? Of course, cars is the biggest passion. So,
I mean, you're wearing Sparco train. I have those in blue.
Yeah, those are cool, don't they? Yeah.
Are they the ones where the tread goes up the back of the heel?
Yeah.
The same ones.
I have probably 6 or 7 these Puma.
Do you find them comfortable enough for day to day? Because I find them a bit narrow.
They're narrow, yeah.
They're great for driving, though.
It's good for driving.
They are really good for driving. Mm-hmm. But I find them too narrow to wear as normal trainers.
That's okay, yeah. I got used to it.
But obviously, cars and motors and things are a core part for you.
It's a little bit of a cliche, but I think it's very much a cliche. But I think I always wanted to be a car designer. Kind of coming from an Italian family who moved to Brazil. I was kind of Italian parents, born in Brazil. So I'm Brass Italian. I have double citizenship. I always kind of had this kind of Ferrari, Lamborghini, Jaguars mainly, and kind of Astons and racing cars and all the things, all the beautiful racing cars, Corvettes and everything, like V8s, American muscle cars. And when I decided to go to university, I tried to go to an industrial design university, but I didn't get there.
Right.
So I end up going to studying architecture.
Right.
Which is great. I always loved architecture as well. But actually, all this started a little bit earlier. I met an engineer years ago, right? Many years, 1990 something. And one day he came to me and he said, "Oh, I have these flop discs." He was the father of one of my very first girlfriends, and he said, "I need to show you something. I know that you like designing and sketching and doing artworks." And said, "I need to give you this." So he gave me, I think, 13 flop discs.
Right.
And he said, "Go to my computer." He had a 386, kind of a 486 computer, something. That was the kind of the Master Blaster Super Duper.
That was the best.
The thing, right? And he can say, "Go to my computer and install this." And I said, "Yeah, that's easy peasy, right?" So I went there the whole afternoon.
Back when you had to manually kind of
put the disc, wake, another disc, and 13 of them. Then one kind of in a moment I finished, I went back to him. He said, "Now you get these 4 or 5 discs and you load it." And when I loaded, it was the floor plan, or the map, actually, for the city that we used to live. And then I was fascinated. That was AutoCAD.
Yeah.
The early version of AutoCAD.
That's really early version.
He said, "Do you like..." We kept talking. He said, "Do you like it?" I said, "Yeah." So he gave him a book. I said, "Now learn it. Whatever you need, I can teach you, right?"
Wow.
But go for it. So turns out that a few years, or maybe a year later, I got a job at Santander Bank.
Yeah.
As a CAD modeler.
Oh,
so
nice.
This is how I started before going to university. I was still doing high school. And I got this job because of him. He knew the people as well. And at that time, very few people knew how to do AutoCAD. So I think I own quite a lot of my direction or my career to him.
Yeah.
And I met him last year and we were talking. And every time that I go somewhere, I mention him. His name is Antonio Carlos Nacarato.
Right.
And great person. And then I started doing architecture, quit and going to the fourth year, said I want to be a car designer.
Yeah.
So I started studying industrial design, managed to get in the university now, the one that I wanted.
Yeah.
It was the kind of top one that I could get at that time. And graduated in 2003, yeah. But in the middle, I spent almost a year in the US at Harvard.
Right, okay. What were you doing at Harvard? Just like a
design as well,
yeah.
But was too focused. It was a preparation course for the design school,
right?
But was too much focus in architecture again. So I said no.
Yeah.
I need to go back, finish that. Then I got a job at the company doing bicycle parts and little accessories here and there. Loads of graphic design. End up going to the U.S. In 2008, there was the financial crisis.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost their jobs. I moved back to Italy, started working in a design company there. And I told my girlfriend at that time, who's now my wife.
Yeah.
I said, listen, let's take a break. I do a master and you do a master degree. And because that's the only way for me to get in an automotive company. So I did a master's in transportation design at Politecnico di Milano.
Right.
Got a sponsorship by Maserati.
Nice.
There was a contest I won it, and then I got the sponsorship, and then got the internship, and then got in the Fiat group, and then here we go.
Now we're in cars for life.
Yeah, yeah, that was how it all happened. So again, all this is a celebration of this passion. So when you asked me before how all these happened, I think it's this process.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of accumulating this kind of unique, I always love these pieces that have some sort of history.
Yeah.
Right? This tire, for example, is a Jason Button tire from BA Bar.
Okay, yeah.
Right? The other one is a Michael Schumacher. There's, say, kind of this kind of helmet is from kind of the Harrier from the Royal Air Force.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything that I kind of try to work with must have some piece of, must be unique in some piece of history.
Yeah.
Like this is not just something fabricated that has no soul, has no values. And when I thought about this place, actually I was in the US, I thought about opening this in the US. That's why I started buying stuff from the American Air Force.
Well, in America, you'd have got 1 million square foot for the same cost, because it's such a big
probably,
place.
Yeah, probably.
You'd have to have started another museum or something.
Probably, yeah. I would need more things.
Yeah, right, right. We've got space for 6,000 cars. Let's figure out what we're going to do.
And I was now at the US, and there was even a conversation about that. Also, do you want to open a franchise here in the US? I said, not yet.
Yeah,
so wait a little bit. Let's kind of really set the business plan and kind of really let it be whatever it needs to be, get the products that we want and kind of really get the whole thing as we would like. But
It's honestly, like, it kind of, from my perspective, it just appeared. Like, it's not something, because you were in America and you came over here, it's not like it kind of authentically...
But I've been here 7 years before, right? I've been at JLR.
Well, gasoline juice is a thing. Not a thing, especially not around here. I mean, I've only been in Northampton for, 18, 19 months now. But in the UK, it wasn't like... Because the comparison is like Caffeine and Machine or Fuel Coffee House or The Motorist. Yeah. Like, there's a few automotive-focused places now, whereas back, we'll say, 5 years, there was like nothing.
Yeah,
and now there's quite a few little bits, but this is the only one that incorporates a bit more than the automotive with the bikes, things like that.
As I just said, I've been 7 years at JLR, mainly Jaguar.
Yeah.
Working as creative design manager for the Advanced Design Studio. So working on the F-Type, I-Pace, F-Pace.
Project 7.
Project 7, which is my baby. XF. I mean, I end up working on XF facelift, F-Pace facelift. E-Pace, a little bit of everything. I think the only car that I didn't touch at all was XC.
Right, okay.
All the others I've been somehow involved in. I see my kind of...
So you'd have crossed paths with the likes of, say, Ian Callum then, who was involved in
iPace
things like that. So he's a former guest. He's been on here. I went over to his studios in Warwickshire.
We worked together 7 years.
Yeah.
I remember when I first joined Jaguar, I did an interview at the same kind of in the space of 15 days at Ferrari with Flavio Manzoni and here at Jaguar. And I got a proposal to join both of them.
Right.
And I've been always fascinated about Jaguars. And I denied going to Ferrari to join Jaguar.
That must upset the Italian family.
That's okay.
You had an opportunity to go to Ferrari. And you
yeah, no, but no, I think it absolutely did the right choice. And I remember when I first met Ian on the first week, so whatever, first week or second week, I was shaking like a bamboo because he was one of, he still is one of my design icons and kind of idols and kind of people that you say, oh shit, that's the man. And end up that kind of, we've been working together on a daily basis
and
for 7 years.
So and lovely.
Oh yeah,
he's like you amazing. Have this, yeah, I love him. He's the man that designed the Vanquish and he did this and he did that.
I love
and,
him, yeah.
And then you meet him, he's like, oh, hello, how are you doing?
And I think
so
that's part of a golden era. And we were talking about this yesterday with another group of designers at JLR was really something, the culture in the company was really nice, kind of 2011 till 2016, I would say, was really amazing.
Right.
It was kind of probably the golden era for the Jaguar design team when kind of relaunching all these products and I joined Jaguar to work on the F-Type program, X152. So since the very beginning, so all
it's like the rejuvenation of Jaguar, wasn't it?
All since the very first convertible to coupe and all-wheel drive and 14 model year and 18 model year, even a little bit on the last one, but I wasn't kind of really involved on that much in the end.
Well, when they facelifted it recently, is that
the horizontal.
The final F-Type.
Yeah, the final one. I was working more on different things.
Oh, that's okay. And, it
was great. And for me, this place is about, must be about car design more than anything.
Yeah.
Right? It's about art, it's about car culture, it's about people coming and meeting and staying the whole day if they want and talking about and kind of meeting people with the same level of interest. But for me, still what I really want to build here is this place where car designers come to talk.
Mm. Right? Well, you host design nights, don't you?
Yeah, we've done a few designers nights.
I've come to a couple of those and immediately felt like lost, because I'm like, everybody here is a proper designer of something. And my only accreditation as a designer is I doodled cars on T-shirts. I'm like, I just make...
Somehow, is this, you're a designer.
Yeah, but I always feel like, these are proper designers. And I just went, I like the look of that. I'm going to draw that and put it on a T-shirt. And then someone's like, yeah, so this has this curve because it means this. And I'm like, I just thought it looked nice. I didn't realize there was so much to it.
Yeah, and this will grow next year. Again, everything that we've been doing, we can definitely find this monthly progression and monthly growth, not talking about only kind of revenue or sales or kind of, but in our audience, the people who kind of who's coming here, kind of joining.
So your community
is a community. It's becoming something super nice, super cool, and I appreciate.
I have a fun one for you. Actually, this happened yesterday, right? So we've just bought our first house, moved to Brixworth out in the countryside, and we got a message from our old landlords at the house we used to rent, saying, the people that live there now, they've got some posts with your name on. Do you want to drop them a message to say that you can come pick it up? Blah, blah, blah. Quite a normal conversation. Mm-hmm. So my other half went to the house yesterday to pick up the post, and the people that live there now, they went, we went on Google Maps to see the house before, like, we met any of the landlords. And we noticed that the car that was outside, so my 86 is on Google Maps outside this house.
Okay, that's cool.
And the boyfriend was like, I know that car because I've been to Gasoline Juice for coffees and cars, and he's been there and he organizes the meet.
Oh, cool.
And it's literally like, we have no connection to these people whatsoever.
Oh, that's so
But they know me and they know you and they know this place because they've been here for coffees and cars.
Oh, that's so nice.
And now they rent my old house. Like, and Grace came home, she was like, this is the weirdest thing. Like, literally, she was like, yeah, they went, and we know who you are. She was like, what?
It's cool, isn't it? It's cool. And this is the start. Now, after we technically opened in end of February, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it hasn't been out for even a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the keys December 1st.
Yeah. So. And then I turned up December 1st evening.
Actually, I got 10 days before when I came back from the US for the concourse. And I now see cars with stickers.
Yeah,
people wearing the T-shirts. I was in Northampton another day, and I saw two guys on jumpers. And I said, oh, that's fucking cool.
It's such a bizarre feeling, though, isn't
it? Yeah, like, that's really cool to
I
see.
I made that, and now a stranger is wearing it in the street.
Yeah.
I get it all the time. Not all the time, I'm not that big. But I get it quite frequently when someone's, especially at car events. Like
yeah,
if I go
with
to
your
the Scramble
T-shirts
or something
well,
like that. And it's one of those, I'm like, oh, it's at the point now where it's people I don't know. Like normally, if I see one of my things, it's like, oh, there's Dave. He's bought one of my T-shirts. Very nice of him. But recently, it's been like, I don't know who that is, but he's got my T-shirt on. It's a stranger. It's someone I have no personal connection to, which means they bought it because they like what it is. Like, and that's such a bizarre thing to encounter. And then I go, oh, I like your T-shirt. And they're like, yeah, yeah. It's really cool, isn't it? I'm like, oh, you don't know who I am. I'm like, I made that. That's my T-shirt. Like, oh my God, it's such a like, it's a really lovely way to connect.
Yeah, yeah, it's super cool.
And it's such a cool thing when it's someone that A, doesn't know who you are, like by face, and B, you have no idea who they are. And then it's just a stranger that
it's
likes
a way to
what
connect.
You're doing.
It's a nice way, as you said, a nice way to connect. And it's all about, again, it's all about this passion, all about the culture, all about, and this love around cars, which is massive in England, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere. But I think I keep saying that you never know what's in those garages around, right? Because there's a guy who lives, I live nearby. And of course I drove every day on that road. And about a month ago, he had his door garage open.
Yeah.
And he has a fantastic, absolutely beautiful Mustang Fastback.
He was
outside cleaning it. I didn't stop and I said, you see, the guy's my neighbor. And I kind of, here we go, you'd never realize. And in England, it's all about that because all garages, kind of all, a lot of them have these piece of jewelry sitting there. And then
before we moved and see this house, just a normal house in the estate. And then one day we were walking and his garage door was open and he had one of those, oh, what are they called? It's like a Morgan three-wheeler, but it's not Morgan. And he made it himself.
Okay. Wow.
By like the engine and the subframes.
All right.
So he had a small English wheel in the garage that he hand fabricated all of the.
Oh, that's good.
And then he'd found this really cool leather seat to go in it and completely by himself made this whole car and just bought the V-twin engine that goes at the front.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's just a normal house. It's got like a Volvo outside. So you wouldn't.
Yeah, that England is full of these kind of surprises and those places where you kind of, holy shit, look at that.
Yeah.
I didn't have been living here for years and the guy has that kind of a glorious car in the garage that now is running after, I don't know, and now he's driving it, but you never realize.
In a former job, I used to go and set people's Wi-Fi or TVs and things like that. And the amount of cool stuff that you just encounter just in the middle of like nowhere where you wouldn't expect.
The US is a little bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a lot of great stuff and a lot of cool cars around. Like I've just came back again, we mentioned from the US and from the Hilton Head Concourse. And the things that you see there, it's just like, how is this possible? How in the hell someone got the car in this condition?
Yeah.
I saw an XK120, I was judging the British car category. And British sports car, and there was few of them, and this XK121, and even the kind of the screw heads, kind of all aligned, and every single detail absolutely perfect. So I was talking to the other two judges there, and they said, "Did you find anything?" I said, "No, oh, man, there's a little bit of this in the trunk lid." But technically, the car is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, this is wild. And
it's wild, yeah.
You know how now things like neurodivergency, like autism, ADHD, that kind of thing, are much more well known about. Back in the day, they were like, nobody had autism. It's like, no, the guy with the Jaguar or the screws line up, probably a little bit autistic.
A bit crazy as well. Yeah. A bit of both, yeah.
It's just that's how that guy is. And then that's his thing. And he loves his car and he's meticulous about it. But back in the day, they didn't have a word for that. They were just like, yeah, he just really likes his car. Whereas now they go, he's probably a bit on the spectrum, that one. Because who has the focus to...
And the car was kind of beyond. And there was many of those. There was a beautiful California. There was loads of American muscle cars, loads of pre-war cars, amazing Duesenbergs and amazing all sorts of different things. So, and the passion is there, isn't it? The passion is all around. And for me, it's a way to celebrate the kind of getting people together, celebrate having artists that somehow find ways to express themselves with little sculptures, big sculptures, paints, photographs, or whatever. Yeah. Getting car designers to talk about and connect and generate kind of these kind of networking moments where we never know how it will end up. So this place is supposed to be this mix of multiple different things that, again, I don't have a name for this. I don't. What is it? They said, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Do you have a name for this? What is this?
No, it's
a definition.
Yeah.
What is gasoline juice? Is it a pub? Is it a coffee shop? Is it a car meeting place? Is it a design studio? Is it an art gallery? Car dealer? Keep going.
I don't think it fits into a pigeonhole that obvious. It's almost like an homage to Auto Mechanica. It's not one thing, it's an homage.
I like the Auto Mechanica term. Yeah.
And everything is either automotive or mechanical.
Yeah, yeah.
Auto doesn't necessarily mean cars, it can spread a bit further. Like, if I were to try and pin something to it, it would be that. It would be an homage to that. It's not a car cafe, it's not a pub, it's not a restaurant, it's not an art gallery, it's not a car dealership, it's not a...
It's a little bit of all that.
It's this amalgamation of a celebration of automotive, mechanical, aviation, which probably falls within Auto Mechanica, is probably about as close to an amalgamation of all that stuff in one. It's a great tagline then, is it?
Yeah, no, it's difficult to explain it.
You have to really condense it.
Yeah, I need to find a way to explain that in a very single sentence. Simple sentence.
It's a love of machines or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's probably already been used
quite a bit. Yeah, it's a little bit. I think the energy that I try to put in this place is very similar to you mentioned Project 7. Mm. When I was designing for Jaguar, we used to do artworks for every car launch. So the design studio would do the designers. So yeah, let's launch the new F-Type. And let the convertible, so everyone kind of go and do artworks, kind of sketches, renders, and whatever. I always kind of try to do some of my digital artworks that I have as well. And then Ian came to me and I said, yeah, that's really cool. Can you do for this car as well? Oh, can you do for that car as well? So end up that for every single car that we launched in the past, when I was there, I created a set of 10, 12 artworks that would go for journalists, posters, all sorts of different things, kind of from canvases to cushions, let's say like that. Yeah, they have one. You have one under your computer now. And that's actually for the XF launch in Navarra in Spain. So I nicked it from the hotel there. No, don't worry, it's there.
I think I'm okay. It didn't move. Oh, one of the mic friends has gone. Oh, no.
Which one? Yours?
Mine. My microphone has got.
All right.
Oh, no. This has happened before.
Battery.
It's on.
My microphone is on.
How far?
I've no idea. Oh, that's a...
You probably got a little bit...
I'm back.
Oh, here you go.
I've no idea when I went, but you've done most of the talking, hopefully.
Yeah, you can trim, kind of edit that later.
No, I'm not very good at that bit.
No?
Most of this is just going to go out. I'm going to try and salvage what I can.
All right, okay.
I'll see where it cut off.
You always kind of get a little bit of mine, right? Kind of.
Yeah. I should be able to hopefully pull some of it out. Yeah. We'll find out.
So here we go. Kind of going back, there was this artwork. So we always did these artworks, and Ian said, oh, can you create one for each car? So I end up creating, every time that we launched a car, these kind of pack of 10, 12 artworks. Yeah. And one day I was doing an aerodynamic pack, a revenue opportunity type of thing for the F-Type V8R. And I had a D-Type artwork that I've done on my desk at Jaguar in Coventry and Whitley Design Studio. And I thought, all right, here I am designing an F-Type and an aerodynamic pack for this car. And actually, there's this D-Type artwork that I've done. And they are both, the D-Type is probably one of the most aerodynamic cars of its era.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a celebration, the disc brakes and blah, blah, blah. And I said, what about if I create a bridge between those two cars?
Mm.
And this is how kind of I start sketching Project 7.
Right.
I said, I'll put a little bit of that thin behind the car, a little bit of this Akira Cos elements into the car. So how can I really blend them and create a bridge between the historical past, the glorious Le Mans wins, and what we are doing now, which is a rebirth for Jaguar. But I said, no, this wasn't the brief, actually, so I can't show this. Right? So one day I had to present all that to Ian, to all the guys, and kind of some of the very senior marketing directors and all the people. And I said, you know what? If I eventually leave that sketch by mistake.
Yeah. Oh, what's this doing in here?
And then here we go. So presenting, oh yeah, this is this proposal where we have this and that. So a little bit less aggressive. This one has a little bit more of a kind of racing inspiration and that and that. And then, ooh, this shouldn't be there. I'm so sorry. But when that happened, end of the meeting.
Yeah.
So we kept talking about what was that. And so Ian came to me later on and said, what in the hell was that? I said, I'm sorry. I forgot to delete it. It was something that I had in mind and shouldn't be there. I said, yeah, I love it. So can you develop the idea further? I said, why not? So.
And you're like, as it happens, here are 10 more drawings.
I had a few already.
I've lost 4 days to this project already.
and then I got a bunch of information, generate a little bit of a business plan, kind of parts that we should change, what kind of would be from the donor car, where we could present it, Goodwood, and then handle that to Ian. And then one day he came back to me, sat beside me, kind of knocked my chair with his chair, in a real kind of normal office chair.
Yeah.
I said, you won't believe it. I said, what? We got the budget for this?
Wow.
I said, really? Yeah. So I can't believe we've done that. So, and we're going to launch that at Goodwood.
Oh, amazing.
And I said, wow, fantastic. Next year. I said, no, this year. You have 4 months to get to put the car together.
Jeez.
And then was kind of crazy. It was something really cool. First time that a sketch became a project at Jaguar.
Yeah.
Usually you have a brief, people start sketching.
Well, that's paved the way for the Project 8 as well then.
Yeah. There's a long story about Project 8, and one day I will be able to tell the story.
And there's still NDAs knocking around for that one then.
But that was magical because it was super quick. A lot of people had mostly of people had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
But the very few people involved really deep dive. And then when we launched that at Goodwood, it was like, how this happened?
Yeah.
And it became then a limited series, limited run. And at that time became the fastest and the most powerful Jaguar ever produced.
Oh, amazing.
So for me, it's a mega honor.
Yeah,
for me, it's
something
absolutely outstanding. Then, of course, you got Project 8 and other cars, and there will be many more coming, hopefully. But I think it's one of those dreams that will never happen.
Well, it's one of those things where like people go, well, cars aren't done by one person anymore. They used to be like you would go, yeah, oh, this is a Pininfarina. Yeah. This one guy, he drew it all, and then we made it.
I mean, I can tell that it was made only by myself. Maybe the concept itself, the idea was mine.
But the starting point can be traced right back to you going, yeah, oh, what if we did this? And then it went off and became
and
a thing.
And this is, like, if you Google and if you try to understand, this is exactly, it says that one day Ian Callum saw a sketch on my desk.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the things started. And to be honest, the original sketch, and if you see it, you see the car, it's absolutely the same thing. You haven't changed.
Did
that
it help
much.
A lot that you were using the existing F-Type look, all we need to do is we need to change this bit and this bit.
Yeah, but it's like that. If you see Lamborghinis or Ferraris, Aston Martins, most of them, the running cars, kind of concept cars, they come from
something that already existed.
Yeah, 458 Italia, for example, or I don't know, something else.
Yeah, it makes financial sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
How much of that process involves financial costings and things like that? Because obviously people go, oh, he's a car designer, he draws, and they go, well, there's a bit more to it than that.
Oh, there's much more than that. Yeah. In our daily routine as a designers, we are always really connected to kind of the financial side of it. Every single line we need to understand, if it's going to be made and produced in aluminium, is going to be made in plastic, is it going to be any sort of composite?
Yeah.
So what type of aluminium, for example, doesn't accept a sharp radii.
Right.
So if it's steel, you can get kind of sharper corners in the car and sharp rads.
Yeah.
So it looks like, if see Audi, for example, and VW, they are really sharp, really edgy on every single line, because they do a lot of stuff with steel and plastics.
Yeah.
So it's, the approach is different. So we need to know if that part will be produced in a specific type of material.
Yeah, yeah.
And that drives the way we put lines on a piece of paper and then model it, because of course every material has a different cost, has a different kind of specific characteristic that will dictate how we approach the design. Different markets accept different type of, they have different type of regulations and accept different type of things.
Yeah,
if you're doing a global car, you need to think about, all right, US regulations, China regulations, European, South America. So it's not like in the past that was kind of more of an artistic thing.
Yeah,
there's regulations for every single millimeter.
Well,
it's
stuff
of a
like
car.
How high the headlights have to be off the floor.
So yeah, you have a specific minimum height, minimum, maximum height, minimum position in Y,
kind of
from the center of the car, maximum. So there's all these
It's amazing that cars aren't all just the same shape.
Oh, a lot of them are really similar, right?
Yeah, but it's like we can now have one car because the regulations mean everything have to be in this specific spot.
Yeah, I keep thinking and I keep saying that, and kind of when I used to do workshops in universities and thing, and I still do. I just did one now in the US again. There's two type of vehicles, I think. There are many types, but the two main types. Some cars are just like fridges.
Yeah.
You don't really care about it. They are there to keep your beer cold, your meat frozen, your meat safe, or your food safe in a kind of compartment, which is called, you don't mind if it's a Samsung or a Bosch or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of, well, doesn't matter the brand. It's a little bit like a TV. I mean, you know that there are some better brands, but honestly,
it's not going to change your life either.
It's not something, the technology is a little bit kind of linear now in that sense, mainly for a fridge.
That's TV, why they're putting TV screens in them to try and
make
them different.
TVs maybe not, but so some cars are like fridges, right? You don't mind. You want to drive it from A to B. Maintenance needs to be low. It needs to consume. The consumption needs to be low as well. You don't care if you park it here, park it there. But some cars, they're like an Armani suit.
Yeah.
You dress it. You become part of the brand. You become a little bit more special because you create this relationship and this connection with your car, right? So when you drive an Aston Martin, you become a little bit closer to what British design is, the luxury, the queen, now the king. or the kind of 007. You'd have kind of imaginary and that you're a bit more part of that. When you drive an American muscle car, you go back to the 70s and the kind of the big V8s and the noise and
Steve McQueen in Bullet.
A little bit of all that represents. So some cars you dress it. It doesn't mean that it needs to be an Aston Martin or a Ferrari or a Maserati.
No. My little Toyota is a perfect example.
It can be anything. Yeah. And this, again, trying to create this connection, what this place is about, and the car design industry and what I am.
Yeah.
This is exactly that. It's this celebration. It can be anything. And I have sometimes, I don't know, a Bugatti parked here in front.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a Fiat Panda beside it. And both owners are equally passionate about their cars.
Yeah.
And I don't really care if, oh no, here we only park the big cars here in the front. No, no. This is about passion.
Yeah.
And you see that they talk about it.
I had a story from a friend of mine came who lives in Daventry. He's like 50 minutes away. And he rang me up. He was like, where are you? I was like, I'm at Coffees and Cars. He's like, no, I'm at Coffees and Cars. I was like, which one are you at? He's like, I'm at Northampton. Where are you? I was like, oh, I'm in Essex.
All right.
What are you doing over there? I was like, well, that's where I started it. Like, that's the thing. He went, oh, well, you should be here. I was like, why? He went, two Carrera GTs have just pulled up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, why? He went, yeah, two of them just pulled up. Randomly,
and I think they didn't even knew each other.
Just parked up.
Yeah, they didn't even know each other. I think they.
Oh, I don't know that bit.
I don't think they know each other.
So randomly, two Carrera GT, and he said, "Yeah, but they got out and they walked over to the Bond bug." I'm like, "This is cool. Let me have a look at the Bond bug. Like they're in Carrera GTs, like really, really expensive Porsches, and then the bright orange Bond bug. They were like, "I'm a car enthusiast. Yeah, I want to chat cars. This is cool. It's interesting. It's quirky." And I had that in Essex or Hertfordshire, it's like it's on the border. I'll turn up in my Renault, which cost me £500. It's a little glass box with some metal sheets, and it's got 40 horsepower, and it cost me £500, but it's full of character. And a guy will turn up in a brand new Lamborghini Aventador, like all the money in the world, whatever. And we'll just chat about cars. Because he's like,
cool thing,
I had one of these when I was learning to drive. And he's interested in the car and the passion, not the money. Yeah. And it's something that's really unique to this enthusiast group is that it levels people in different ways. Yeah. People aren't here to be snobby.
No,
it's about
not,
your passion for the car and the stories that you have to tell about being in the car world. Yeah. That's the thing that makes it so special.
Yeah, and I think your event specifically brings a lot of that kind of people.
Which is really good to hear is that's the goal.
That's the goal, yeah.
And the plan is to bring people together.
It happens. It sets the tone as well. It was the first event that we ever did here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it set a little bit in my mindset as well, kind of, right, this is really cool. This is, why not continuing to do that? And then here we go, we keep going, and here we are.
When I approach new event partners, I always go with the, this is your everybody welcome event.
Yeah.
Like you have your themed events, you have your American, your Italian, this, that, and the other. Treat this as we're doing an everyone welcome event around culture and community, because that's the vibe. It's
come down and
appreciate cars and see what the mix is. It's not about who's got what spec of Audi and who's got this and who's got that. It's about come and just enjoy being a car enthusiast.
And one of the things that I avoid doing as well, I don't advertise this place. At all. I have no rush in the way that it will grow or how it will grow. I don't want to force it into anything. I'm letting it grow naturally. And these same kind of groups and these people are really kind of talking and letting it grow organically. So they bring more of their own type of group. Right, and this is what I think it's nice. So I don't try to kind of. Of course, I have the advertisement of my events on Instagram, Facebook, but I don't pay or I don't go to anywhere. I'm letting it flow. Right, this is probably will go much slower than most of the other places.
But you'll have a more engaged core audience.
Yeah,
then.
That's the idea.
It's not about the numbers. It's about the quality of the people that turn up. Yeah.
And actually, it's one of the things that I really want to make sure that I make kind of, I keep kind of eventually less people, but this type of passionate people.
Yeah.
Right? Really, it's not about being snobby or kind of, I'm here. Actually, probably people to come or who came with this kind of attitude felt out of place.
Hopefully, because it kind of self-regulates the community then.
Yeah.
Because and if again, you have one person that is a bit up their own backside, but they feel uncomfortable, they're not going to bring their mates that are the same. Because
yeah.
it's been regulated out of the community at the start. Which is great, because that's the kind of community that we want to build.
Yeah, I got a kind of, people kind of complain, oh, there's a golf there or whatever. And I had to park my Aventador over there. I said, and?
Get here earlier.
And so when they leave, you can park your car there.
Yeah.
Oh, can you ask them to leave? I said, no, absolutely not.
No. One of my favorite cars that's come down, there's a young lad with a Vauxhall Cavalier.
Oh, yeah.
But he's doing all the work on it, right? He's put the big spoiler on. He's put a bit of a body kit on it. When I first saw it, it was covered in body filler and bits of paint and this and the other. It's now sparkling purple.
Oh, really?
It looks fantastic. I've got a photo of it somewhere. I'll find it for you. And I'll add it on to the Patreon links and all that sort of stuff. But it's this young guy, and he loves this car, and he's doing all of the work himself. And it's, you can see the project. You can see it growing and getting better. And I bumped into him at another event. And I saw the car. I went, oh, there's a Cavalier like this with the same spoiler that I saw a few months ago, but it was all like body filler and that. He went, yeah, it's this one. I've painted it myself now. I was like, this is amazing. And he'll park right out the front. And it's like, perfect. The passion is there.
I need to see it.
Yeah. If he hears this or if he sees anything on socials, please come and show Caesar how the car's looking. Because it's been such a cool thing to see develop. It might be, because I took a photo of it at Bicester, and I think someone probably tagged him. So if I can find it, I'll send it over to you. But yeah, that's the beauty of the whole automotive scene for me, is the passion and how it brings people together to share in it, which is why I do what I do. It's about utilising that to build community and get people chatting more.
We need to set the same type of conversation or the same interview next year, kind of.
Oh, we'll do another one at the end of November.
End of November.
We'll have a part two.
A part two.
Where are we now?
Where are we now? Yeah, that would be cool.
I'm still in my Renault 5. It's still not working.
And my Jaguars is still sitting outside with the water
still
pump.
Still got leaking. The water pump off. But no,
hopefully not. Hopefully next week we'll be ready.
It's been a really nice one to just sit and chat and catch up and kind of share what you do and what's going on here. And it's one that we've kind of chatted about doing for about a year now.
I
was like, oh, you should come on the podcast when we first met, and you're like, yeah, that sounds great. And then for a whole year, yeah, that sounds great, let's get it done.
We've been busy enough.
You've been very busy, right?
Cool, thank you for the invitation,
for sitting down and for chatting. Cool. And we're not going to tell you where Gasoline Juice is, because Caesar doesn't advertise it. You're just gonna have to find it for yourself. But no, thank you so much, Caesar.
Thank you.
I'm gonna end that there.